same church, so we're gonna add a little prayer here. We're gonna add a couple pieces real quick. We know we had 10 things on our list from Sunday, but I'm gonna need two people to pick up two of our prayer requests. So one of those would be that we're still praying for those 16 baptisms. Who would want to pray for that? Who wants to pray for that? Okay, we got Scott back there.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight, Lord, to ask that we can achieve those 16 baptisms, and not in our work, but for work for you, Lord. We just ask that you be with those that have come in, Lord, and bring those that need to be saved and baptized into our church, Lord. Just ask for that, and just ask that you be with us as we continue to do your work, Lord, and continue to direct us. Come in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And then we're also going to pray for one other one, so we'll go ahead and do that. That God will open up this community in the way that we've been asking for a while. Knock the walls down, that the community will receive us in a way that we've had the opportunity to share the gospel and evangelize this summer. Anybody?
Father, we ask that as we go out into this community, Lord, we've been here for 20 years now, and it seems like it's difficult to reach this community, Father. I just ask that you break that barrier down, Lord, so that you might be glorified because of it. Lord, we're willing to do whatever you've called us to do, God. I just ask that you allow this to happen, Lord, so that you can have a breakthrough in this community, Lord, that this place might be changed because of the Word of God and because of the salvation that it offers through Jesus Christ. Lord, just continue to use us in a way in our ministries, Lord, to reach this community. Lord, it all points back to you. You're the reason we have everything, Father, and the reason we're able to have a church like this and ministries such as these, Lord. It's to bring glory and honor to you, to lift your name on high, Lord. And I just ask that you break down these walls in this community, Lord, so that you can be glorified in all things, Lord. We love you so much, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So, tonight we're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy for a little bit. Then we'll be in Matthew to end it up. But I want to share with you tonight, this message here is about you and God. What's it going to look like? We make choices every day. Every day. Some of you may say, am I going to go to Burger King or am I going to go to McDonald's? Some people say, am I going to read out of the book of Genesis or am I going to start in the book of Matthew? Sometimes we say, do I like this? Blue, or do I like it in the red? We make choices every day. Am I going to serve or am I not going to serve? Am I going to volunteer? I'm not going to volunteer. But we make a lot of choices. But the biggest choice, I believe, is who are you going to serve? Who are you going to let be God in your life? So that's where we're going to be tonight in Deuteronomy chapter 10. The Israelites struggled ever since they even left Egypt. There's never been a generation that has saw so many miracles, and big miracles, as the Israelites. We're coming to a place here that some things are going to be laid out here in Deuteronomy. It's like God is putting two roads out there in front of them. You can either do it one way, or you can do it another way. I want to say this tonight, many of you tonight, our group tonight is half of you are under 33, 34. That is a positive thing in the church today. But many of you that are in your 20s, some of you are in your 20s, and some of you are popping over the 30 mark. I get to nudge that a little bit. And some of you are getting over that 30 mark. But there's a lot of people your age right now that have chosen not to do a lot with God, if anything with God. Their way's not working. It's not working. Not because I'm saying it's not working, but God's Word says there are two roads. We're not going into the curses and the blessings tonight, but we're going to stay in this part right here, but about what God requires. You see, it doesn't matter if you believe that God has this way it works or not, it works. It doesn't matter if you follow him or not, it's the way to go. There is only one God. You are never, I won't say never, never is a pretty strong word, but I do not hear people being persecuted for any other name but Jesus. Why? Makes no sense to jump at anything that's not real. There is a piece here of what God requires from his people. And we're going to learn from what was laid out before the Israelites tonight. And then we're going to see what Jesus says in Matthew. Chapter 10, verse 12 in Deuteronomy, it says, "And now Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you except?" Here it is. There's a little bit of a list. Number one, to fear the Lord your God by walking in all of his ways. There is a part that we are to fear God in a holy way. And I believe that fearing God is that we not fear that he's going to strike us, but that he might remove his blessings from us. You know, tonight I have received a lot of blessings from the Lord. My cup overrunneth to the point where I'm drinking out of my saucer, really. And I'm probably not the only one tonight. You could probably could testify that God has blessed you in so many ways you can't even count them. Now, could you imagine for a moment that God took all that away? In one moment, he begins to take it all away. That I would fear. I would fear God in that way. Fear that he would take his blessed hand away from me. Not for the stuff, but for the blessings of peace and joy and understanding to know what God's love and mercy and compassion really is. The world knows what love, compassion, and mercy, those things are, but not to the extent of what God has. You see, the world's got limited love. The world has a limited compassion. It has limited mercy. But God's, we're still trying to understand. And I'm a recipient of it. And so are so many of you. Can we just say already that God is awesome? Man, he is this awesome. But we are to fear, this is what he expects from his people, to fear the Lord our God by walking in all of his ways. And we know that we are not a perfect people. We're not perfect on this side of heaven. We're not going to be, we're called to be perfect, but we can't be. We're going to have sin in our life. We're going to sin, but thank God for Jesus Christ. Amen? So we know we're supposed to follow and to fear God and walk in his ways. Now, how many of y'all failed that? Me. I've failed that from time to time. And when I do, the Holy Spirit convicts my heart, and I'm broken inside. I feel bad about it. I'm convicted, and I find myself on my knees before God and repenting. Why? Because it says the next piece is to love him. I can't really repent unless I love him. And I love him tonight, and I hope you do too. He expects us to love him. I expect my wife to love me. She expects me to love her. God expects us to love him. It's kind of a off deal type of thing, because I know that I'm always going to receive more than I can give to him. I'll never, ever be able to repay him for salvation. When he was there in this moment in my life and there with that moment, he was with me through all my moments, but those moments, those valleys that you thought could never go that low, he was there. I learned to love him over time in a deeper meaning, in a deeper way. And I pray that you have, and you are too. But it doesn't stop at just fearing him and walking in his ways. And it doesn't stop just to love Him. What else does it say? And to worship the Lord your God. God doesn't care about the lights. He does care that we take care of the building. He doesn't care about a show. He doesn't care about all the strings and all the things that are going on and all the million-dollar stages. How do I know that? Because the rest of this verse says, to worship the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. That's an inward thing, not an outward thing. These are just tools to help us worship. It's this, right here. My soul, my whole being, my whole mind. Listen, if God loved us so much that He gave Jesus, Jesus came and died on that cross, I'm telling you, if He says, I want everything about you, I ought to give Him everything about me and not hold anything back. This is an eternal relationship. This is the real deal. This is everlasting. And then He says, I got another one. Verse 13, keep the Lord's commands and the statutes I'm giving you today. And there's a list. If you want to read them, it's a big one. Just go to Deuteronomy and read it. It's a lot. But He says, follow these. Follow these. These are important. Let me tell you, God's word is important. And it always makes me excited when I hear people in our church testify about, I'm reading God's word. I'm reading God's word. I'm reading God's word. That means you're being fed spiritually. More than just in the church, you're doing it out there. And that's really, really good. But He didn't finish it that way. He finishes it this way, for your own good. Now let me reread this for a moment, and we catch it all in one glimpse. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you except to fear the Lord your God by walking in all of His ways, to love Him, to worship the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul? Keep the Lord's commands and statutes I am giving you today for your own good. For your own good. This is why it's not working for so many people. This is why it's not working for a lot of believers. They've abandoned the word. They've walked away from that. They're drifting away. Whatever it is, they're putting distance between them and Jesus. Jesus came so that we could draw close to God through Him. That could be we redeemed and have everlasting life with Him, be part of the family. He draws us. We're engrafted. But some of us are choosing to drift away. Now I want to go to Matthew, and I want to share some things here in Matthew chapter 7. And it's about two foundations. Jesus, he says it's just an amazing way. There are two foundations. In chapter 7, verse 24, he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a sensible man who built his house on the rock. Now, Jesus just did some great preaching. Chapter 5, chapter 6, up to this point in chapter 7, it's big preaching time. Talking about anger, talking about how to pray, talking about how to forgive, talking about, oh my goodness, so many things. He says, if you listen to what I've got to say and you act on these things, you're building your house on the rock, on a rock. There's two foundations. Doesn't matter how beautiful the building is. If the foundation is not good, it will crumble. And Jesus lays it out. He said, this is what happens. In verse 25, the rain fell and the rivers rose and the winds blew and pounded that house. And yet it did not collapse because its foundation was on the rock. Can I tell you that the rain falls on everybody, the just and the unjust, the saved and the lost. Rain comes down, that's problems. You ever walked down and said, and the hits just keep on coming? Am I the only one? I drove down the road, pulled off the street and said, come on, Lord. And the hits just keep on coming. What's going on in my life? What is going on? It's when the rain starts coming. And it doesn't just stop raining. The river starts rising up. It means it begins to ruin some things. And things are starting to not be good. You can't move around and do what you thought you could do before. And the winds begin to blow. Everything is just in a big mess. You're in a storm of life, and it pounds on the house. It keeps hitting. It keeps hitting. It keeps hitting. But the man, the woman, the family that has their house built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, when the storm subsides, it's still there. And it's because of the foundation. It's all about the foundation. Jesus Christ, God's Word. Let me remind you that we all need to be coming back to God's Word. In our services, in our life groups, in our small groups, and even at home. Because this is where you're going to find your answers so many times. This is where God's going to speak to you so many times. This is where you're going to find out that you might be wrong about something. This is where you're going to find out where God's going to convict or God's going to speak in whatever way he wants. God uses his word. That's why it's special. There's none other like it. And that foundation, I've been through those storms and you have too. And the older you get as a Christian, the more storms you've been through. But I know this, if Jesus is your foundation, the more testimonies you have about how God brought you through. Amen? God brought you through. That's the individual that chooses it God's way. But there is another foundation. Let me read this one part again. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house. Now let me go to verse 24. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. And its collapse was great. I can promise you this right now. Without Jesus Christ, me and Carla would not be married today. Without Jesus Christ, I would not be here today. She would not be where she is today. Without Jesus Christ, those storms in our life, we would have been done. Probably on a third, fourth marriage. Not saying people can't fix that. And in my old job, I'd probably be dead. God has a way of taking a person. When they come to his son, through his son Jesus Christ, God has a way of redeeming, but not just redeeming and saving, but to actually change the destination from a person that is going and was going to go to hell and give them a different direction, a 180 into a different direction. But not only is it for eternal parts, but also, I believe, even sometimes physically, people change. But then their lives change. God opens doors that no one could open. God changes. Health, I think health is a big part of that. A lot of things that God does, he touches an individual. And when God touches something, something's going to change. The world is different. The world is poison. It taints things. It pollutes things that are good, people that are good. The world pollutes because it is sinful. The prince of the air is Satan. Now, people say, well, I don't know what you're saying. Listen, if you read God's word, you would understand and know what I'm talking about is real. Let me just let you know, there's no laughing in hell. You see it in the movies, I'll see you in hell, and I'll get you there. Let me tell you, is it a place of pain, suffering? You don't hear a lot of people preach about it, but it is real. Well, how do I know that? Because God's word tells us. I had a choice to either follow Christ or to follow my own way. But let me remind you, when you came to salvation with Jesus Christ, you chose the ways of God. But sometimes down that road, we get a few years into it, we start drifting from God, and the roads come back up, and we see this crossroad again. And our faith is tested, and sometimes we go off to another direction. We think we can control it now. We fall back on a salvation piece. We fall back on some other things. Let me tell you, it's great what God has done with you in the past. And I love that. That's my testimony. That's your testimony. But also, we also need to say, what is God doing today in my life? What am I doing today in my life? You see, this foundation isn't just for, or this foundation is not just for my salvation. It's for my life. Every day I get on the phone, I've said this before, I scroll through and see who's got arrested. I have a lot of people I know that are arrested right now in Huntington County. The way is not working. Now, there are some innocent people, I always believe that. There are always some innocent people. But the majority are in there because they've done something wrong. And many of them will claim, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. And see, sometimes we may point a finger at those who've been incarcerated, but let me remind you, there are so many people outside here, they just haven't got caught yet. Or you haven't got caught yet. There are things the world doesn't care about. Adultery. You won't get arrested for that. But God sees it. There's things that the world won't arrest you for. But they're not our judge. They're our judge here in the flesh. But not our eternal judge. Our eternal judge is God himself. We need to make sure we're right with him. So there's a lot of people trying to choose a way and make a new way. Well, there is no new way. There is no new way at all. Because God owns it all. This is his world. This is his life. He made the way. He made the way to live, but he also made the way for salvation. He also made the way for blessings in your life. I'm not a prosperity preacher. You all know that. But I do know that if you follow in God's way, God has a way of just loving to bless his children. Scripture also says, though, he disciplines those whom he loves. So when we get stretched out a little bit away from God, we start drifting away. Sometimes God allows discipline. You say, sometimes, oh, my car messed up. My house, my finances aren't working out right. I got some issues here. And you say, and the hits just keep on coming. What's going on? Sometimes it's because we're out of the will of God. We're trying to do our own plan. When you're saved, God has a plan for you. Did you know that? Jesus said in John chapter 17, not that my will, but thy will be done. God has a will for every one of you. When you get out, when you get far away from it, and you know what it is, you're doing your own thing, you get out in danger land. God disciplines. Everything starts falling apart. I've never seen a Christian, a prodigal Christian, running out there doing their own thing, living in a sinful lifestyle, and get all the blessings and have real joy and real peace, and can sleep at night. Because something inside of them is still convicting them, and that is the Holy Spirit. Amen? But also know, sometimes when you're doing what God wants you to do, sometimes your check might be $200, and you paid your two little bills, and you're wondering, how in the world does this keep? How do I have more money? How is it stretching out so far? God has a way of taking care of that. How do you know that? Well, if I go back to the Deuteronomy, I go back to the Numbers, God had allowed the Israelites to wander out in the desert, and he says, your sandals never wore out. Do you understand the God that we serve? He's real. He wants to be more involved in your life than probably you want him to be. We love him on Sunday. We love him on Wednesday nights. But boy, what about that Thursday night or that Friday night? Oh, that's me time. Listen, God loves for his children. I believe he loves to look down at his children when they're happy and joyful in the things of God. When the church is praying, church is worshiping, the church is fellowshipping. I think God gets joy out of that. We think God's sitting up there with his hammer and just mean and everything. There's a time when Jesus is going to judge. But I love his mercy and his grace. His compassion is more. I have received so much compassion from God in my life. So much compassion. If I talk about it too much, I might end up letting my eyes might get wet. Because I believe that he is so real to me. I can do this number. I know he's here, but I won't touch him because he's super holy. He's holy. But I just drive in my car and I say, God, I know you're here. You know what kind of day I'm having? My faith is struggling in a spot or two. And it just, you know, sometimes it overcomes me. And I just feel this, oh. And I know, I've been serving him for so long. This is what I know. He's never out of step. It's me. He's never wrong. It's me. He don't make mistakes. It's mine. I'm not goofing off. He's not goofing off, but I'm goofing off. And Scripture says, even when we're faithless, he is. He cannot be faithless. He's faithful, even when we're faithless. Scripture says he can't deny himself. But this is what I know tonight. There are two roads. There's two foundations. You have to pick one. And when you say, I'm not picking one, you've already chose one. You've already chose one. And I can promise you this. If you choose God's, allow him as a believer. If you're not a believer and you want to choose God, Christ, that's what you need to do. But I will promise you this, through the Scriptures, not me, but his word, he'll take care of you. He's not a genie in a bottle. He's God. He could do a lot more than being a genie in a bottle. He is God. God Almighty. But if we choose the other road, there's a God there too. It's a little g. Scripture says the God of this world is Satan. You see, everyone either serves God or serves Satan. And if you chose God and you chose Jesus, I believe most of you did that tonight, you got to keep on. Keep on the journey. It will come to an end, but it only gets better. Don't hold on too tight to this world. It is passing away. Don't be like Lot's wife. And take a look back because you love the world so much. If it was important for God to speak to his people in Deuteronomy, way before Jesus came, a couple thousand years, probably 3,000-4,000 years. And then Jesus brings up two foundations. It's pretty important that we follow God and follow his ways. Father, as we take a moment here, where we know that we just have a time of response that we have for whatever is upon our heart, laid upon our heart by your Spirit, or whatever you've moved in our hearts to do tonight. I just pray, Father, that you'd be with each one of us tonight, that we would know which road that we're following. If we're struggling on it, or we kind of feel like we're lost, and we're on some alley or back road when we know we shouldn't be there. I pray, Lord, that your spirit would just draw them back to the main road. For those that may not be on your road, I pray, Lord, that your spirit will move on them, that they would choose a new road in you. Be with this time in response. In Christ's name, amen.